Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Open your Bible to the book of Genesis, to the last chapter of Genesis, chapter 50, and we're going to be right there, within the last couple of sentences of the incredible book of Genesis. This great piece of history, yeah, that's what I call it. We believe this is an absolute historical record. And there's so many incredible people and so much time given to all these people. I mean, we find out about the creation of the earth and Adam and Eve, chapters 1 through 5. We hear about Noah, chapter 13 through chapter 12. There's a whole lot about the great flood that destroyed the earth. Incredible story. And then you have Abraham. Come on, Father Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, God calling him out and beginning this great nation. They use 13 chapters for Abraham. There's a lot to learn there. And then we have, of course, Isaac for a couple of chapters. And Jacob has 9. Jacob would be Abraham's grandson. 9 chapters on him. But the book ends with a story of Abraham's great-grandson. His name is Joseph. And 13 chapters are given to us to help us see the trials this boy went through. Now, I want to tell you, there's nothing bad written about him. All these other knuckleheads were just like us. And I'm sure that Joseph was a sinner too. But the Bible, one of the reasons we know the Bible is not the work of men is because we'd have cleaned it up and edited it a little bit to not have some of the gross stuff that's in the Old Testament, or the huge screw-ups by so many that we love and respect. They were men and women with feet of clay, just like everybody else. And there's some pretty depressing things that these guys did. But I love it because the Bible tells the truth. Yeah, you've heard it. If you read a biography that makes you feel guilty, throw it away. Because the author is not telling you the whole story. Because that guy ain't that good. Okay? He's leaving out a few chapters that should be written. And in this situation, you really have two guys in the Bible, major characters that we don't see flaws in. Joseph is one of them, and the other is Daniel. And incredible guys. So these chapters are given, and Joseph's story is how, even in the midst of trouble, strife, and neglect, God turned it all into something incredible. Now you say, yeah, but you don't know. You know, I've been through. How can I accomplish anything in my background? I've been abused. I've been neglected. I've been hurt. Man, I had a guy tell me this week about something that happened 55 years ago when he was a little child. Man, I didn't even have a chance, man. That's gone from being a real problem to being an excuse to not having to serve Christ in this life. I'm telling you, everybody has a chance. First of all, I want to tell you about Joseph's screwed up family. Let me tell you something about his dad, Jacob. Jacob ended up with 2 wives and 2 concubines. Concubines, that's a girl, usually a servant girl in the household that the master of the house has babies with to bring them up because somebody's like a wife can't have children. It was ugly. Jacob's story is that he went to work for this man called Laban because Laban had a beautiful daughter named Rachel. She was an extreme looker. And she had a sister named Leah who was older than her, and she was a sweet girl, but said she had tender eyes. And they're not talking about that they looked tender. She had an eye problem of some kind. And so it kind of, anyhow. So Jacob falls in love. Joseph's dad, Jacob, falls in love with Rachel, and he wants to marry her. And the old man says, what do you do for me? I'll give you my daughter. He says, I'll work here for 7 years. He works faithfully like 7 years. He loved Rachel so much that it only seemed like a day. He was floating on air. He's going to marry his Rachel. The day came. And in those days, you understand, there wasn't a lot of light. And the bride was all covered up. And in the morning, he realized that the old man had bootlegged Leah into the wedding boudoir instead of Rachel. The Bible says he woke up in the morning and there was Leah. Okay, that's how it goes in the Hebrew. There was Leah. So he loved Rachel and he said to the old man, what do I got to do? He says, well, you know, I had to give you my oldest daughter first. So you got to work another 7 years. He worked another 7 years to earn the right. So now he's got 2 wives. Okay, then Leah Leah is having children like crazy. Rachel, the love of his life, I know it's sick and weird, but she couldn't have any children. So she brings her maid to Jacob. Gets uglier, doesn't it? I can't have children. Have children that I can raise up as my own, and all that happened. And then Leah's got a maid, and that all happens. And it's just so here's all these kids. By the way, and then all of a sudden, Rachel starts having babies. Okay, all of a sudden something clicked. The Lord opened her womb, and she had a son. She was going to have a second son too, named Benjamin. But this first son, his name is Joseph. This is what you call the weirdest family you ever heard of, okay? I mean, it's just weird, weird, weird. This is where our boy grew up. So Joseph, he's the oldest of Rachel. Rachel is the girl that Dad really loved. And so he's going to make that guy, Joseph, his sole inheritor of his estate. That's how it worked back then. The oldest got everything. Here's all these other older brothers from different... Oh, gosh, it was a mess. It was a terrible mess. Don't you wish you'd have been dealt a different hand? If anybody could have, it would have been our boy Joseph. He would have wished he would have been. What is... Don't you ever look at your parents and grandparents and say, man, what is wrong with these people? Sometimes that's how it is. You just wish you could trade with somebody else. I think of my friend Kara. She's a hairdresser in Rochester. Sweet girl. I just love her. She's my dear friend's daughter. You know what she'd do when she was little? She'd come down to the Christmas tree when everybody else was still asleep in the middle of the night after Santa Claus came. And she had a sister. And so she would open all of her presents and see what they were. And then when she opened all of her sister's presents and see what they were and said, no, I'd rather have that. So she'd start switching. And in the morning, these girls start opening stuff and mom would go, wait a minute. No. Santa Claus meant you to have this. She just decided she just switching them around. Don't you wish you could do that with your life sometime? By the way, her dad came downstairs. He was wise to her. He'd come down and she was rewrapping. Kara! You know, scared her to death. It was great. It's a great Christmas story. But anyhow, don't you wish you could switch them around? Switch around how you were dealt and all that stuff? The problem is you can't. So, number one. Great theological point. He had a screwed up family, man. Ain't no fixing that, okay? Number two, Joseph's abuse and neglect that then came after all of that was just awful. He was hated by his brothers. Read that last section, those last 13 chapters of Genesis. He was hated by his brothers. And it was kind of set up by the old guy who decided that, you know, he loved Rachel best and Joseph was number one and all this stuff. And so he even gave Joseph this specially made coat. By the way, he had a tremendous gift of administrating too. And so his dad had him run his brothers in the business. And these older brothers having this little snot-nosed boy, excuse me, but you know what I mean, showing up and telling them and telling dad what they're doing wrong. And think of that dynamic. They hated their brother. And one time he comes with his coat of many colors to report on them. And they said, here he comes. Let's kill him. You know, I've been thinking about it. The only way to get the inheritance is to whack this guy in the Italian sense of the word. And one of the brothers said, no, let's not do that. Let's just put him in a well here. Let's not shed blood. It would be awful. And so that brother goes away and doing something else with the flocks. And then here comes a caravan. And the brothers look up and said, oh, we don't have to kill him. Let's sell him as a slave to these guys. They pull him out of the hole, tear off his coat, sell him as a slave, put blood on his coat, took it back to the father and said, is this your son's coat? Yes, it is. What happened? And all that. And they think he's dead. His brothers hated him. And then he's falsely accused. He's taken down to Egypt, sold to a man named Potiphar, who was one of the officials for the great ruler of Egypt, Pharaoh. And Joseph is an amazing administrator. He's so gifted, he takes over Potiphar's entire estate. He's running the whole show. It says this guy, Joseph, was so good that all Potiphar had to worry about was what he was having for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was all covered. He's playing golf, you know. You know, he's going out on the boat on the Nile. That's what he's doing, right? I mean, that's what he's doing. Well, what happens is that Joseph is a good-looking Jewish boy. Curly, dark hair. Well-built, the Bible says. Attractive. Potiphar's wife comes after him. Tries to seduce him. He won't do it. He won't. He won't. And so she sets up a scam to say that he tried to molest her. And all of a sudden, Joseph ends up in prison. He's in the prison. Okay, He is hated by his brothers. He is falsely accused and put in prison by this chick. And then, last of all, he's forgotten in jail. These two guys come into the jail. You remember the baker and the cupbearer. Cupbearer is the guy that would taste everything for Pharaoh to make sure it wasn't poisoned before they gave it to the Pharaoh. The cupbearer and the baker had ticked off Pharaoh and he put him in prison. And these guys both had dreams. And Joseph said, God interprets dreams. Tell me your dreams. He told him. Joseph told him what the dreams meant. And sure enough, it happened just that way. The cupbearer is restored to service at Pharaoh. And he said, listen, while he's going out of the jail, when you go back serving your Lord, remember me. He goes back and totally forgets about him. He's rotting in prison. By the way, why he's in prison? He's got such an administrative gift, he takes over the administration of the entire prison. He is like, what a horse. He's going at it. He loves working. Working is a gift from God. And in the midst of his trouble, he's just the incredible man that he is. And then Pharaoh has a dream. And if you remember, the cupbearer says, oh, I had this guy in prison. He interpreted dreams. I should, you know, I. And they call him in. He interprets Pharaoh's dreams and ends up becoming number two in all of Egypt. All right. But anyhow, the boy, he had a lot of problems, a lot of abuse and neglect. Screwed up family, terrible abuse and neglect in his life. Let me give you something else. Joseph's salvation, and I'm talking about that in just a sense of his own sanity, not being forgiven before God. I mean, his salvation was that he had this clear view of God. Through it all, Joseph never blames God for this stuff. You've been hurt. You've been to that point where you say, how could God let this happen to me? I thought he was all powerful. How could he let this happen to me? Ah, forget it. You've been to that point? A lot of people have. Joseph never got there. He did not see God as the cause of evil that had hurt him. He saw that God made people who were significant, that they mattered, that they could do good and evil. And when they did evil, it was awful. God made individuals, not robots. So people can do evil to us. And we live in a broken world that can hurt us. It's a difficult place to be. This isn't the way God intended it. We screwed it up. He didn't. He never cursed God because of this. He saw God was bigger than all of his trouble. Now, you know the rest of the story of Joseph. He becomes second in command in Egypt. There's a huge drought, and his brothers come down from Palestine wanting to buy grain. And Joseph is the one handling all the sales. And he sees these guys, and it's his brothers. Oh, it's a great story. And the way he is careful and doesn't let them hurt him again, but at the same time took care of his family. At the end of it all, when they realized that it was Joe, they're scared to death. Now we get to this simple text, verse 19. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. He saw God able to work even in the terrible junk of our lives. Even in all of that, he could see it. The word here is to weave something together. God wove even this bad stuff you did to me. God used and wove together in the fabric of my life to make this happen, to let this be. To me, that is just amazing. There's another statement in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You know it. Let me read it to you. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He had the right view of all of this. He had the right view. He saw that God didn't cause this, but somehow God is so incredible, he can even take the bad that people do to us and do something incredible with it in our lives. And this is the idea here. God works together for the good. The idea is he takes everything that's there and uses it in your life. No matter what it is. And there's some evil things. There's some stories here in this room. But it didn't stop you because you believed that God was bigger than your trouble. And whenever your head gets messed up and you start thinking that it's God's fault, that God did this, well, that's when you just say, well, just forget it. But you can't do that. You'll mess things up. Did you hear about the cop that was a state trooper that pulled over a little old lady on a road going 22 miles an hour in a 50? He walks up to the car and sees 5 blue hairs in the car. And he says, ma'am, can I see your driver's license registration, please? She gives it to him. Oh, here you go, honey. She says, thank you. He says, ma'am, do you know that you were driving 22 miles an hour in a 50 mile? No, son, no, you got that wrong, officer. It's 22 miles an hour here. He looks up at the road sign. It said, Michigan 22. He says, no, ma'am, that's not the speed sign. That's the road sign. Well, I was driving 22 miles an hour because it said 22. That's why. And he said, he looked in and all these women are white as ghosts and their eyes are this big. And he says, why does everyone look so afraid? She said, well, honey, we just got off 112. You know, you get it wrong and it gets you off, I'm telling you. And Joseph had it right. It was his salvation. And then last of all, his driving force, and I'm done. It's this. Notice that he never gave up. He never gave up. You see, when you start viewing stuff as being from God, forget it. Why even try? It doesn't even matter. And then we do really stupid stuff, like a Potiphar's wife comes up and says, hey, big boy, how about you and me in the moonlight? Okay? Now listen, if he had the wrong view of God, he'd have said, who cares? God isn't taking care of me. Might as well go for the gusto, right? What difference does it make? When he was in prison, he would have gone to the weight room every day. He would have watched porn and he'd have joined a gang. Ah, forget it. What difference does it make? I'm telling you, it matters. It tells so much. What was his driving force? When this girl came after him, he said, God forbid that I should do this evil thing and sin in the eyes of my Lord. Did you get that? Do you see what was restraining him was that his own love and fear of the living God. I love that. That's the only thing that will restrain you is your love and fear of him. And if you throw it away thinking he doesn't care about you, you're in a world of trouble. Don't do what Joseph did. Just don't do it, because God can take these things and work them all together. You know, Debbie is really gifted at a lot of things. But one of the things that she's really, really good at is when you get something in a restaurant that isn't very good. You ever had a recipe that just ain't working, babe? You know what she'll do? She'll say, look, can you go back to the kitchen and get me some of this, 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 and this? And they bring this stuff. She mixes it all in. For her, flavor are like colors. And she's a painter, too, so she understands that. But when flavors are like colors, she can take all this stuff that ain't very good and make it something beautiful. That is exactly what the Lord will do. But he didn't go around asking why. It's incredible the way he responded. Have you ever been a truck driver? One of the greatest fears of a truck driver is not having the load secured properly in the back. Because that load in the back, if it shifts while you're driving, is going to want to steer the truck. But the truck driver is careful to hold on to the wheel and make sure what's steering the truck is the steering wheel and those front wheels of that truck, not the load shifting. You've been carrying a load for a lot of years. And I think maybe your load has been what's steering your life. You got to stop letting the load do the steering. It's about time before God to secure that stuff and give it to him and ask him for the ability to see things clearly so that you can, with your faith in God, steer that truck in the right direction like Joseph did. God forbid that I should do this evil thing. It's an incredible response. So what are you going through? You got to get your head right about the trouble in your life. God is going to work it together for good. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray. Come on and stand up. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this incredible story of the life of Joseph. And may we take these bullet points from his life and may we step into the light instead of continuing to walk in the darkness of our past. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.